you, Pat. Children may go to their classes. Ha, escape that one. All right. Let's pray as we start. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you that Jesus didn't stay in the grave, but he arose. He's living. He's the living God. And he prays for us. He stands in our defense all the time. Lord, give us insight as we look at this passage today and to understand more about the resurrection of our Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, today we're going to be looking at the resurrection of the King, the Son of Man, as told to us by Luke. And we'll be looking at Luke 24, verses 36 through 39 this morning. Have you ever been really afraid? I mean, really afraid. Have you ever doubted God? When was the last time you learned something about God and were just in awe and wonder about it? These are the emotions that drip through this passage in Luke 24, 36 through 49. Just a couple days before, the disciples had watched their Messiah die, their friend die on the cross. And not one of them expected him to rise from the dead. Not one. Now, as this passage opens, they're gathered in a room in Jerusalem with the door bolted and barred, expecting at any time to hear a knock on the door, a visit from the Jewish authorities and their thugs saying, "Let us in! Open up! We're coming in!" They would be seeking to do the same thing to them as they had done to Jesus. Instead of that, unexpectedly, they were visited by their resurrected Lord. He suddenly appeared in their room. He didn't use the door. One second, he wasn't there. And then the next second, he was. They were so startled that he thought he was a ghost. Let's look today at four things Jesus did to prove that our King, the Son of God, Jesus, has been resurrected. He's alive. He's risen. He is risen. Okay. First thing, Jesus gave them his greeting. Look at Luke 24, verses 36 through 38. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Why do doubts rise in your minds?" When Jesus came into their room and said, "Peace be with you," he was talking to Jewish guys, so probably you know what he said. It's just translated in English for us. He probably said, "Shalom. Shalom." And that would have met a lot of needs in their hearts. He's speaking our language. If you're Chinese, he would have said, I forget. Yak samaj, huh? Yeah, in Czech it would have said pokoj vám, but in Chinese it would have said ni hao ma. So he knew their language, and he spoke their language. He said, shalom, shalom to you, peace be to you. The Prince of Peace came in peace to them. He appeared so suddenly and was so very unexpected that fear just took over and ran wild with these people. And just as he had done before when they were distressed, in John 14, chapter 1, he spoke peace to them. The God of peace had raised him from the dead. Because of his sacrifice on the cross, men could now have peace with God and enjoy the peace of God. You know, just the other day, I was walking down a street in Ashland, and it was on my 15th out of 16th lap. And so I was walking up the middle of the street. Not very smart, right? You're tired, you're winded, you're walking up the middle of the street. And I was praying for this Sunday and for you. And I wasn't paying a lot of attention. And all of a sudden, I heard this scraping of rubber behind me. And of course, I jumped and I thought, oh, it's a coal truck with my name written on the bumper in the front. But it wasn't. I had expected a crash. I expected pain. But it wasn't a truck. It was a herd of kids from Ashland High School, the track team, running up behind me. I'd never been passed by anyone. And this was kind of really shocking to me. I'm glad it wasn't a truck. And the Jews were glad it wasn't the Jewish authorities. It was Jesus, their Savior, the one they hadn't expected, who greeted them. Second way that he proved that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is risen from the dead is he showed them his resurrected body. Look at verses 39 through 43. 39 through 43. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Jesus showed them his resurrected body. He said, look at my hands and my feet. Touch me and give me something to eat. Now, they had no concept of what a resurrected body was supposed to look like. The presence of the wounds on his hands and on his feet showed that he didn't have another body, but he had the same body that was crucified previously. And the fact that they could touch him showed that his body was a material body. And when he asked for food, he showed them he was not a spirit, only a spirit, a ghost appearing in human form. You know, in these verses, Jesus identifies himself very emphatically in the Greek text so that they, the disciples, didn't miss it, and so that we don't miss it either today. He says literally, "It is me, myself, that you see." It's me. It's really me. Seeing and touching the resurrected Christ would convince the disciples. If they didn't see him like Thomas, who was not present that day, guess what? They didn't believe. John would write later in 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The word of life is Jesus. When they did realize it was Jesus, they almost missed it because of the great joy and amazement they had. Another place in the Bible that talks about this great joy and amazement that a person had and almost missed the fact was from the book of Genesis, where Jacob was told 22 years after Joseph's death, after 22 years of mourning for his son, Joseph is alive. What? What? Joseph is alive. And then he went to Egypt and met his son again. Jesus had told them that they would rejoice again when they saw him again. And that prophecy was fulfilled in this passage. He said that in John 16, verse 22. Jesus proved that he was the risen, resurrected Son of God by showing them his resurrected body. Third way, Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Look at verses 44 through 46. In the previous passage, on the Emmaus Road, there were two men who had their eyes opened. Jesus opened their eyes so they could understand the scriptures about what was written in him. And now, with his disciples, he's going to open their minds. Verse 44, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, "This is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." Now, Jesus took away the blinders that they had in their minds, in their hearts, so that they could understand the written things, scriptures, the written things in the Old Testament. Their minds were completely open to the reality of the risen Lord who stood before them. We might say the lights suddenly came on. The lights came on, they were illumined. And Jesus explained to them the different prophecies written in the Old Testament and showed how they applied to him, how the Old Testament spoke about Jesus, the law of Moses, all that Moses wrote, the first five books of the Old Testament, the prophets, the major prophets, the minor prophets, and even the Psalms spoke about this coming Messiah. Just as they had been told, it came about. And just as Jesus had told them several times of what would happen to him, that he was going to go to Jerusalem, he was going to be beaten, he was going to be crucified, he would die, and then he would rise again on the third day. It happened just as he said. And we had a friend named Mirka, who once told us that, you know, before she became a Christian, she didn't understand a lot of things. But after she became a Christian, God opened her mind, opened her eyes, so she could see things that God, the way God sees it. And like previously, in the culture that she grew up in, it was okay to like take things home from work. You know, maybe this day a pencil, maybe tomorrow a ream of paper. But after she became a Christian, the lights came on, and she realized, God says, "Thou shalt not steal." what I'm doing every day is stealing. God, forgive me. Forgive me for that. God said that that stuff is sin. And she confessed it. And she stopped doing it. God opened her mind to understand the scriptures. And that's what's happening here with these disciples. They had heard it. They had heard it. They had read it. They were taught this stuff from the time they were little kids. And now, Jesus is opening their mind and explaining how each one of these passages applied to him, to Jesus. And the fourth way that Jesus proved that he is the risen Messiah, the risen Son of God, Son of Man, is he gave them a job to do with a timetable and a promise. Look at verses 47 and 49. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you with my Father what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus would open not only their minds and their eyes, but also their lips. He would open their lips. They would be witnesses of all that they had heard Jesus say and all of what they had seen Jesus do. They'd be witnesses of how Jesus fulfilled all the stuff that was written in the Old Testament about Jesus since the very beginning, since Genesis 3:15. It was all written about the coming Messiah. And they would go everywhere. They would go to all the nations and preach about repentance and forgiveness of sins. And they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do this. But they were to wait until the Holy Spirit came in power before they began. They were to be his witnesses, those who would go out and share their words, share the information they had, share their very lives many times about the risen Christ. He's risen from the dead. He's alive. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Sharing the gospel is something that the Lord does through us. He does it with his word that's working in us. He does it through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Vance Havner, who is a preacher from Moody Bible Institute that I knew. I used to listen to this guy preach in Winona Lake. He used to say, people do not come to the Lord after they lose an argument. Simon Peter came to Jesus because Andrew went after him with a testimony of what Christ had done in his life. Changed life. The scriptures, the Holy Spirit changing this man from being a hater of God to being one of God's disciples. When people see that, they believe. They believe. They see Jesus in us because they see we are obedient to what God has said. So there are four things we looked at today to prove that our King has been resurrected. Jesus gave them his greeting that spoke to their hearts. He showed them his resurrected body. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he gave them a job to do with a timetable and a promise. Where are you at today in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him personally? Has God opened your eyes and your mind so that you can understand the scriptures? Here are some tips about allowing God to open your eyes. First of all, invite God into your life. It's a decision that you have to make. Invite him into your life. Say, Jesus, I want you to be a part of my life. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want you to be Lord. I want you to be Savior. I want you to be my main thing in my life. Invite him in. Secondly, surrender your expectations. You know, when God becomes a part of your life, he's going to change the way you think. He's going to change a lot about you. So surrender your expectations to the Lord. Thirdly, seek God's perspective. Say to the Lord, hey, I want you to show me what's really important. What's the most important thing that I should be focusing on? What perspective, Lord, should I have? I want my perspective to be in agreement with yours, Lord. And finally, trust God's timing. God's going to work in your life, and if he's going to bring you to himself, he'll do it according to his time. And he does things according to his time, not to our time. All those things are important. The resurrection of the King, that's what we celebrate on Easter Sunday morning. We started early this morning at 8 o'clock, and we read Matthew 28. We started at the tomb early Easter Sunday morning, and now we're closing in the last hours of the evening. It's kind of a progressive revelation from God as they go through the day to find out what happened to Jesus, and it's really explained best at the end of the day. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us to celebrate the risen Jesus, that he's alive. It's amazing the things, Lord, that you have done to show us again and again who this man is, that he's not just a man. He's God in the flesh who came voluntarily to the earth to give his life for us so we might not perish, but we might have eternal life. Lord, I pray for anybody who's here today who hasn't given their life over to you, that they would do it before they leave this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. He is risen. Now you rise and stand as we sing our final song, Are You Washed in the Blood? Think about this as you're singing. Are you washed? Am I washed in the blood?
what's the answer to that question? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Most important answer, the most important question we face in this life. Do we know Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this chance we had today to be together and to study your word, to look at the risen Lord, the resurrection of Christ, and all that means for us today. Lord, we just pray that you will guide our lives as we leave this place, that you'll direct us to other people who know Jesus too, so that we hear again the testimony about him if we haven't made a decision already. Lord, we pray that folks that are here that don't know you won't be able to sleep even until they deal with this question about their relationship with Jesus. Lord, guide us as we leave today. Protect our lives. Help us to enjoy you, to worship you and glorify you forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.